AVD hanging out with you this afternoon, and we have been walking through the history of Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. But now we want to get into the politics, and joining us on the line, along with Ricky Vincent and myself, is the one and only Chuck D, who took matters into his own hands just the day after the BET Awards and did his own damn tribute and put it up on YouTube. And everybody agrees, Chuck, you did a much better job, man. How you doing?
If I did much better job, man, that's a terrible statement about the Booty and Thug Network. But I'm not going to digress. What's up, Rick? What's up, Dave? And it's a pleasure doing it, and especially doing it to, you know, also making a statement that the Jackson 5 were, I mean, they were our heroes long before, you know, Michael Jackson became, I guess, the rest of America's hero and the international pop star. Come on. I mean, so I put a... Who's Loving You, and put up a montage of a whole bunch of pictures to his past and present. And, you know, it was fun doing it.
You know, let me ask you this, because when we talk about politics and music, we talk about, you know, Public Enemy is one of the groups that come up. And just talking with Ricky, and Ricky, you can also maybe comment, and then I'll let you two go at it. He says that there's a rich tradition in which artists have always woven messages into the song, and coming out of that soul era, we shouldn't be surprised that Michael would have that sort of consciousness. You're at that age where you can remember the Jackson 5s from the 70s.
Right.
Do you remember a politic with the Jacksons? Did you get a sense of something from them that maybe down the road touched you in a way that inspired your career?
Yeah, especially around when they left Motown and started working with Gamble and Huff. And there's no way in 1976 and 77 you're going to actually work with Gamble and Huff, Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, who really put the message in a lot of the music in the 70s. There's no way that you're going to say nothing, you know what I'm saying? So the Jacksons had some, you know, little innuendos that spoke about certain things around the world. I can't give a specific example, but the lyrics in their songs were quite poignant, and the Jacksons already had that background for entertaining and bringing them across. And I think that led all the way up to Michael Jackson saying some things that need to be said, because they've been there, done it, and tried it all before a certain time. So you figure from 1976 to 1981, 82, the Jacksons really wanted to be able to say a little bit more than they said before. That was just evolution. But I think Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff are understated entity when you're talking about the contributions to the Jacksons' legacy.
Mm. You know, Ricky, I wanted to see if you could add anything to that. One of the interesting things that Ricky was talking about before we got you on the phone, Chuck, he was talking about the tensions that existed between wanting to keep the group clean and polished versus being raw and funky, the tension between the group being pressured to have a pop hit, you know, just a hit song that fit a certain formula, versus wanting to speak and find their own minds. And you told me a long time ago, and I never forget, that tension, that sort of tension, whether it's within the group or whether it's just outside forces moving you in a direction, really brings out the best music and also keeps it forever alive. It never becomes stale. Did you pick up that tension with the Jacksons when you were coming up or throughout the years?
Oh, most definitely, but also, you know, looking back on it. So I think a lot of people are doing a lot of backlogging now, and also they're using their hindsight to check out, you know, the inner detail of what the Jacksons had going on in the studio, on the records, and then even in their performance. And just like they would looking at Earth, Wind & Fire, or any of those groups that wanted to say a lot more as they tried to get international and maybe white American acceptance, everybody was towing that line, trying to figure out, how funky do I stay? and how popular do I want to get across the board? And I think the Jacksons, they did a fine job of it, all the way up to the point where, for some strange reasons, for the last 2 years, I was telling, you know, the people I work with, I'm like, man, I would be down to see the Jacksons, even without Michael Jackson, just come out and just get down and just do their songs, because their catalog is just something, and if Mike didn't want to be down with them, there's still enough to go there and be entertained for an hour, and I'm not getting an hour of entertainment from a lot of people But the Jacksons actually have enough to provide there, and they have a lot to say, and I'm pretty sure they have even more to say even right now, and with Jermaine and the rest of the brothers. And I know that there was a tension that's going on even when Michael started working with Quincy Jones, but it was all healthy tension, and the healthy tension was to try to strive to do something yet undone. I mean, yet to be done, and also to try to do something better. I mean, the record that keeps ringing in my ears right throughout the course of time is this Man in the Mirror. It's just seeming like it's stronger than ever now.
Right, Man in the Mirror, Earth Song, which we're going to play, and Man of War, which is the anti-war song that came out, and I didn't realize it was Gamble and Huff, but it came out during that period where they talked about, you know, we shouldn't be going to war, and that is very relevant today.
Just to take it out of the political realm for a second, if I don't want to take this time, but I just want to mention, since I'm on the air with you guys, the first song that turned me out in a hip-hop state of mind was a DJ that was cutting the hell up out of music taking over.
That's right.
Going places out.
Yeah. We were just talking about that. That was a definitive breakbeat. Music's taking over, and that was, and every DJ worth their salt had two copies, you know, and classic.
It was the first record that also bugged me out because this DJ was cutting it up, and I kept hearing Michael's voice come in. Let's dance.
Oh!
And I couldn't understand it because I was like saying, how is he making Michael Jackson do that?
Breakdown FM. Fresh for the new millennium.
You suckers.
Your voice is very unique, and I people think it's James Brown that influenced you, but I think you said it might have been Joe Tex more than anything. Just that influence that Mike was trying to mimic James Brown a lot of times, or was inspired by that. Did you pick up any of that as well? You know, pioneers.
I mean, the other day I was watching Tavis Smiley. It was some revelation when James Ingram was on Tavis Smiley's show. They were showing the clip. They was like talking about how he was in the studio, and they said when Michael Jackson cut his vocals, he was the only person he ever saw cut vocals like in the full dance. I mean, dancing while cutting the vocal. So obviously now we know where we get all those ad libs from, and those all shamans. You know, I mean, those are actually real spontaneous ad libs while in motion, right?
Michael in motion. Chuck, one other thing, and then we're going to listen to these records. You know, is there anything specific that we can hear in Public Enemy that you picked up from the Jacksons?
You can always hear the grooves. You can hear the application that when the corporation came and put the Jacksons down at first. You know, I mean, you can always hear that. I mean, if you want to check out what's the sample in the middle of. By the time I get to Arizona, it's the Jackson 5 and the band and live in concert doing Walk On By. In the
really?
Beginning, when the 5 is coming on the stage, they would just walk on, doom, you know. So when they was out there live, their band, they was doing the thing. And a lot of the, you know, what's underrated is that the young Jackson 5 were, you know, they was earning their chops as musicians playing with the pros at that time. So.
Walk on. Hey, yeah. Chuck, this is Ricky Vincent. And, I wanted to ask you, since you really were one of the pioneers in the video production coming out of hip-hop in the 80s, Michael Jackson was at the top of his game layering messages in his high-quality, real elaborate production of videos. Was there anything that you noticed in the way he was doing these videos that put more message in the song that the song even already had? How did you interpret his video production in the way you was making videos back in the day?
Well, I think the most important thing with Michael Jackson is that he went back to the old trick when he was making videos, is that you couldn't take your eyes off him. So all the tricks that they did, all the tricks were supplementary. All those tricks were just added on to the thing that he put it all on him, so you couldn't take your eyes off him. Then all those messages that he would put around and with video production, such as Leave Me Alone. I'm like, yo, man, what? You know, so there's a lot of hidden messages that we're about to unmine in the further in the years upcoming. My regret about all this is that, you know, for industry of radio and television and these record companies to say who they are and to claim who they are and who they claim to be, I don't think these radio stations, these television stations, it have been, to me, a mockery and a shame that they would not give Michael Jackson the time of the day trying to figure out, do they have to do a BDS spin report on him? What's the survey on Michael Jackson? Does he got the right beats? Is he hot for the streets? Do we need to get Lil Wayne on it? I mean, that crap is something that is, it belittles the legacy of not just of Michael Jackson, but many of the artists, where people are just waiting for them to just come out and just be who they are and do their thing. You know, now we don't have it.
So. You know, one of the things we were talking about with the record labels, and Ricky and myself talked about this the other day, was the significance of him calling Tommy Mottola out at the time when Tommy Mottola was pretty much, when he called, you took his phone call, at least on the radio side. When he snapped, everybody listened in the industry. This fact that he was willing to first kick in the doors of Motown, save the record industry in the 80s, stand up to Tommy Mottola, and then in his death, looks like he's reviving the record industry. Your comments on his politics within that field of employment. Yeah.
A lot of strength and the kindness of that man. And you, if you have somebody screaming and crying foul, you know, Paul McCartney to this day is crying foul because he's mad that his friend Michael Jackson beat him out in the publishing game. And, you know, Michael Jackson really was no soft cookie.
Something to definitely think about. What about the him battling Tommy Mottola? Any thoughts on that?
I always gave Michael Jackson kudos for identifying Tommy Mottola, because a lot of people don't know who these people are. And when Michael Jackson put the spotlight on him, then all of a sudden Tommy Mottola was looked upon in another light, other than saying, okay, he was in Dr. Savannah's Buzzard's band as their, he was name-checked as the manager. He had the fuel to go off of that. And Michael Jackson just defueled him when he called his name out again. So, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right?
There you go. As we close out, would you chuck your favorite Jackson 5 or Michael Jackson song?
I'm going to stick with two records right now. Music's Taking Over, because it turned me on to hip-hop.
Okay.
And the other one was my roller skating joint, which was... Shake Your Body Down to the Ground. That's
we gonna
the roller skating joint right
I know,
there.
I didn't know you went roller skating.
Oh, man.
I could,
man. Frontwood, backwood, sidewood, upside down. And you know, and when they, you know, let's dance or shout, that's when you jump up in the air and
there you
body
go.
Down to the ground.
Shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance. Let's shout. Shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance. Let's shout. Shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance. Let's shout. Shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance. Let's shout. Shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance. Let's shout. Shake your body down to the ground. You tease me with your loving to play hard to get, 'cause I do know that I want you. You walk around this town with your head on up in the sky, and you do know that I want you. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Something to get closer to your soul, and you do know that I want you. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. Something to get closer to your soul, and you do know.